In light of the abundance of exciting new communication technologies, does UNESCO still view radio as an important medium?
Absolutely. New technologies, no matter what they are, hold a lot of promise. They introduce all kinds of new functionalities, new facilities, new possibilities. But simply put, our mandate, you know, or a certain part of our mandate is certainly with poor and marginalized groups, and the vast majority of whom, at the moment don't have access or cannot engage with the range of new technologies that are out there that, you know, preoccupy a lot of us and a lot of organizations. And two, if they are going to benefit by the very real power, what have you, of those new technologies, it is only going to be in combination with traditional technologies and traditional media, particularly radio. That would be, you know, sort of extrapolating from UNESCO's programs and its strategies. I think that would be, you know, what I would pull out of UNESCO's work, that radio is still the most listened to, most relevant medium, for one. And two, if we're talking about new technologies, radio is important in terms of making those new technologies accessible.
So just in terms of radio as an educational tool, how do you see it working on a very rudimentary level with developing countries, perhaps? What's it best at doing?
Well, I think, you know, there's probably some distinction that needs to be made. I mean, I think they both fall under the rubric of media, and they certainly both fall under the rubric of radio, but there are very different types of radio. The work that I do, my sort of area of specialization, is really with local and community-based media. And their particular, you know, sort of characteristic property, their niche, the things that they can really do very successfully are to look at local issues and to involve local people. And because they are very, very local, to be a bit more engaging with the community, to introduce, you know, different ideas of kind of two-way approaches to broadcasting as opposed to the traditional kind of one-way or one-to-many sort of model of broadcasting. So that certainly is one of the most interesting things about radio and what it can do. In terms of education, you know, education also is a very wide range of, you know, kind of possibilities from the formal education, and I think radio, including local and community radio, have a role to play in formal education. They certainly have a role to play in non-formal education, and very clearly I think radio is a medium, a significant portion of it anyway, is really informal education in and of itself. It's sort of our, you know, the idea behind this sort of model of a community multimedia center or an integrated center where you're taking, you know, you're trying to kind of cash in or capitalize on the power of new ICTs, but realizing that they're really irrelevant in most local contexts, especially in contexts where you're talking about, you know, marginalized groups, poor groups, rural areas. They're completely irrelevant. They have no relevance in those kind of environments. But if you can get, you know, certain people in the communities to start using them, teachers, you know, journalists, media workers, extension workers, those are the kind of people who can make them relevant, because they might be able to access, you know, those kind of technologies and use them and then make them more usable for other people. So, I mean, one of the ideas is that, you know, by putting the internet into a radio station, you potentially are making the internet available to everybody who can listen to that radio station, because there are people in the radio station who can, you know, mediate the kind of content that's available on the internet that they wouldn't be able to do themselves, you know, for a variety of reasons. You know, literacy being one, education being another, language being one, affordability of the, you know, of the technologies, the fact that they've never used these technologies before. People aren't going to start using the internet until they actually can see some kind of a benefit for it. And you're going to have groups that are kind of prepared to experiment with it a little bit, you know, in order to be able to demonstrate that to people. And I think, you know, the community media are a good way to do that.
Do you think cellular technology is going to be as big as people are predicting in terms of its potential as an educational tool for developing countries?
I don't know about an educational tool, but certainly as a tool, no doubt, I think it already is. And I do think there's a lot of possibilities for it to, you know, to be educational. One thing I thought was very interesting, you know, just a conversation I had recently with somebody in Canada who's starting to do a research project around, it's kind of based around telecenters But looking at telecenters and the interaction of a telecenter, which is, you know, sort of computers, internet center, the interaction of those centers with other technologies, particularly traditional technologies. And this woman who's doing the research project, she talked about one of the traditional technologies being a mobile phone. And what I found very interesting was that I would never have thought of a mobile phone as being a traditional technology, though the telephone certainly is. You know, I mean, tradition in the, you know, in the context of podcasting. But what I thought was very interesting when we were talking about it was realizing that actually the commonality between radio and mobile phones is that they're both mobile.
Yeah.
You know, like radio is a mobile technology. It's not a fixed technology like a computer, like an internet, you know, like the internet in a sense, or like a television even, or like a classroom or, you know, other kind of learning, you know, technologies and learning environments. Most of them are very fixed, whereas radio is completely portable. And it's one of the things that shares in common with a mobile phone is that you can carry it with you anywhere. So it becomes a very, can become anyone, some level, a very personal device. So I think there's enormous, you know, potential and possibilities. Plus, I think, you know, it's something that's developed on its own. It's developed as it's something in the market. Certainly radio has as well, but it's required a lot more, maybe a little bit more in terms of facilitation. I mean, there's not a lot of money that's going to be made out of, community radio, local radio, whereas there's a lot of money to be made out of telephones. So it can be a very market-driven technology, even if that's not the actual applications that it's being used for. I think one of the reasons why mobile phones are so successful is people have figured out how to use the off, you know, the unpaid time of a mobile phone, you know, by sending text messages, which in many places don't cost very much money, or simply by having, you know, systems of missed calls and all the rest of it where people don't actually have to pay for anything.